The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, July 14th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We got a great show coming to you today. Let's start by introducing the rest of the crew. To my right, the engineer and the pirate, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Yes, controlling the board. You got us some live guests coming in today.
I do, yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Ian Carmel and Ron Funches are doing a show tonight at the Hollywood Theater that they're going to promote. And they'll be here at 45 after.
Now, Ron's been a guest here before. Tell us a little bit about Ian.
Ian's a comedian here in town. He's definitely going to go places. Really funny guy. I think you guys are going to really enjoy him.
All right. Check that out. Coming up, a little bit of comedy today at 45 past the hour. Cannabis Carrie is still missing in action today. She's still stuck in the state of Idaho, and she'll be back with us next week. So today, I'll be taking care of your hemp headlines. In today's news, we got some interesting stories, including a pot for cancer caregiver who is facing 8 years in prison. Two medical marijuana proposals that have been introduced in the state of Ohio, unemployment pay that's been awarded to a fired medical marijuana patient in Colorado, the Berkeley Patients Group suing the Northeast Patients Group up in Maine, and a pot smoker victimized by both thieves and cops, as well as an update on that story of the 70-year-old Michigan woman we told you yesterday. And then today is the second Thursday of the month, and the second and fourth Thursdays we always have law enforcement against prohibition in the House. Speakers from LEAP will be here, and today we get to visit with Betty Jane Taylor, a former chief of police from the Winfield Police Department in Missouri, and she's an expert also on sexual assault and criminal justice, so we'll get her thoughts on those topics as well. Plus, we've got Groovin' Thursday music for you today from John Doe Radio, so we'll get the latest tunes on the hip-hop tip here for the cannabis community, and in hour two, we'll hang out with Ron and Ian, Ganja John, and Wiz Calico, and take your calls at 971-533-7111. That's our show for today, so make sure you stay tuned and enjoy it all. And if you miss any of it, you can always download our podcast from iTunes or our blog at stash.normal.org. We're back right after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners. If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry is off for the week. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News. A pot for cancer caregiver faces 8 years, this in Michigan. A card-carrying medical marijuana caregiver who was growing marijuana in his backyard to treat his wife's stage 3 breast cancer will be sentenced Thursday for manufacturing marijuana. Gary Allen Katz, age 59, pleaded guilty in June to manufacturing marijuana, a charge that resulted after officers with the Livingston and Washtenaw Narcotics Enforcement Team raided his home August 10th. Both the defendant and his wife, Jeannie Katz, who was not charged in the case, declined to comment. Attempts to reach Gary Katz's attorney were unsuccessful. The prosecutor, David Moore, said, quote, "The fact you're doing a good thing on the side doesn't justify illegal behavior," end quote, when he was asked about the charge. He continued, quote, "We cut the guy some slack. There were guns recovered. He could have been charged as a felon in possession of a firearm. I recognize he may have been doing some good things there, but there are other ways to help," end quote. Gary Katz's prior criminal history includes a conviction for delivery and manufacture of marijuana. He faces up to 8 years in prison when sentenced Thursday on the manufacturing charge. A conviction for being a felon in possession of a firearm would have meant an automatic 2-year sentence that runs consecutive to any other conviction. Now, the sad part about this story here, first of all, is he's in the state of Michigan where he is a legal medical marijuana patient. So what is the problem here? Why is he being charged with the manufacture of marijuana? Well, here's the situation. According to the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, people are allowed to grow up to 12 plants in a, quote, secured, locked, and enclosed facility. Now, according to a blog entry on the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association's website that discusses their whole situation, it discusses how Jeannie and Gary here decided, since they were both medical users and caregivers, that they would grow their marijuana out in their backyard, which was, quote, a secured yard with a 6-foot fence that was locked. However, the enclosure did not have a roof. Now, the writer of the blog post points out that the prison in the state, in Jackson, has a prison yard that's fenced, and the prisoners go outside, and the outside yard's considered part of the secured, locked facility. But according to the prosecutor in this case, according to Morse, that doesn't count as an enclosed facility. He says that everyone will tell you about how ambiguous the law is, but in our cases, the plain reading of the statute will tell you it is illegal to grow outside without a top, without a roof. So this man may be facing 8 years in prison because he thought he was growing legal medical marijuana out in a locked fenced yard, but because it didn't have a roof on it, the guy's going to get 8 years. And the prosecutor in this case thinks he gave him a break for not giving him an extra 2 years for possession of a firearm since he's a felon. Yeah, thanks for small favors here, Mr. Morse. It's a shame this case has to go like this, but it shows you once again the problems that we have to deal with trying to separate patients from criminals and having stupid little laws that determine who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. Let everyone grow marijuana, let all people use it regardless of their health conditions, and then we don't have to worry about these stupid situations. Now, talk about your cup running over. We've got two medical marijuana proposals in the state of Ohio. Now, previously we had reported on how the Cleveland billionaire Peter Lewis, him behind the Progressive Insurance Group, was talking about sending up a medical marijuana ballot issue. While he's been doing that, another group has quietly been laying the groundwork for a constitutional amendment. If approved by the voters, the Ohio Medical Cannabis Act of 2012 would establish a regulatory system modeled after the Ohio State Liquor Control System. There would be an Ohio Commission of Cannabis Control, plus a state division and superintendent to run it. Marijuana purchases would require a doctor's prescription, they mean recommendation, and would be subject to state and local sales taxes. Qualified purchasers could buy 60 grams of marijuana at a time, a little more than 2 ounces, and possess and transport up to 200 grams, about 7 ounces. They also could grow up to 12 marijuana plants for personal use under the proposal. Permits would be required to cultivate and sell marijuana. To get a constitutional amendment on the ballot, supporters first must gather 1,000 valid signatures of registered voters to submit language to the Attorney General for approval, much like we have in Oregon. Then they can collect over 385,000 signatures, the minimum number required to qualify for the ballot. Now, remember the days when we would just fight like hell to get one medical marijuana proposal on the ballot? Now, Ohio might have two medical proposals, and Colorado, Oregon, Washington, and California may have two legalization proposals in each state to look at. Truly our cup runneth over here. Now, naturally, the anti-drug spokesperson in the local area was livid about the proposal. This is her quote. She said, quote, "Our conclusion is that the use of marijuana as medicine should not be a legislative or voter decision. We don't vote on antibiotics. We don't vote on antihistamines. If we're going to look at medical value, let's treat it and study it like medicine," end quote. It's always so quaint to hear when we know that the DEA and National Institutes of Drug Abuse block all attempts to do just that. Medical marijuana supporters have always wanted these scientific studies and only went to the voters when dying people couldn't wait any longer. Besides, if you had a flesh-eating bacteria chomping away at your thigh and I told you a cannabis-based salve would probably kill that bug and save your leg, would you need to wait for some scientist to prove that? Patients have used cannabis for 5,000 years and discovered it works. How much more proof do you need? A story we touched on briefly yesterday about a medical marijuana patient in Colorado is great stuff, and we're getting this from tokeofthetown.com. He's been rewarded his unemployment benefits after being fired from his job for positive test results. The case here was SOSA versus Industrial Claims Appeal Office, and the evidence presented by an employer at a claims hearing fell short of proving a sufficient basis for the denial of unemployment benefits to the man who tested positive on the employer's drug screen. A registered medical marijuana patient was required to undergo urinalysis when his supervisor claimed the employee exhibited, quote, "behavior suggesting he might be under the influence of drugs," end quote. When asked to undergo testing, he responded that he would likely test positive, as he was a medical marijuana patient and had recently consumed marijuana for medicinal purposes. His test results were positive, and under the employee's zero-tolerance policy, his employment was terminated. At the hearing, a human resources representative for the company testified about the employer's zero-tolerance policy. However, the employer didn't present any evidence that the laboratory conducting the test was certified or licensed. This was seen as a crucial omission by the Court of Appeals. But according to a press release from Sherman and Howard, the law firm representing the company, quote, "although the outcome is disappointing for employers, the decision implies, while not saying so explicitly, that such benefits will be denied in similar situations if employers present some readily available evidence in the trials of such claims." Well, once again, we see another situation where medical marijuana patients are openly and legally discriminated against in this country, here in the case of getting unemployment benefits. It's only because of this little technicality about the licensing of the lab that this Colorado medical marijuana patient is even allowed to get his unemployment at this point. And as that firm points out, it's probably likely that in the future, the companies will have learned from this case and they will make sure that their labs are certified and tested so that they can't get broken by this technicality in the future. Meanwhile, we have people who use OxyContin and Vicodin and antihistamines and all sorts of prescription drugs at the workplace that can cause all sorts of problems at the workplace, but if they get fired, they can easily apply for their unemployment because those are legal drugs. It's time to end the discrimination and legalize marijuana for everyone. Interesting story coming out of Portland, the other Portland, that is, Portland, Maine. The Berkeley Patients Group is suing Maine dispensary permit holder working with former NBA player Catino Mobley. In court filings, Berkeley Patients Group alleges Augusta-based Northeast Patient Group failed to pay back more than $630,000 in loans used for salaries and startup funds during the successful 2010 permitting process. Northeast Chief Executive Becky DeCoyster is also named in the lawsuit, which was filed July 6th in Cumberland County Superior Court. DeCoyster, who severed ties with Berkeley in February, is accused of breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, and disclosing trade secrets to a competitor. She declined to be interviewed yesterday. In court filings, Berkeley claims she quit immediately prior to signing a letter of intent with Mobley Pain Management and Wellness Center, which Berkeley considers a competitor. Mobley Pain Management is led by a former NBA player, Catino Mobley, who is also affiliated with Summit Compassion Center, a dispensary planned for Warwick, Rhode Island. Mobley played college basketball at University of Rhode Island and also attended Maine Central Institute in Pittsfield. Mobley's group planned to loan Northeast $2 million to get its Maine dispensaries up and running. Terms outlined in the letter of intent show Mobley would provide that funding in several increments to be paid back over 7 years at 18% interest. Wow. $600,000 in loans from BPG. And by the way, $125,000 of that was the annual salary for DeCoyster. We got $2 million in loans coming in now from a former NBA player. We got betrayals and lawsuits and breaches and lots of money for lawyers and investors and executives. And it's all about getting a natural herb to sick people to alleviate their suffering. Does it seem to anyone else like we've lost sight of the whole point of medical marijuana? The Northeast Patients Group, in their filings, think they can, with 250 patients, make $1.7 million in their first year. And in year two, with an estimated 400 patients, they think they will make $3.2 million. So, are we moving from dealers selling overpriced weed because of a government's over-restrictive regulation to, are we moving from dealers selling overpriced weed because of prohibition, to having governments and companies sell us overpriced weed because of over-restrictive regulation? NPG and the others who were approved to run the dispensaries had to submit a $15,000 application fee. And if they were rejected, they forfeited $1,000 of that. So it cost you $1,000 to be told no. Maine still allows for home grow, at least, and that's the only defense I can think of from being gouged by dealers, governments, and corporations. And meanwhile, I think the next few years are going to be very interesting for the first few Green Rush millionaires who came up from the ranks of marijuana activism, as they're going to have to face the influx of new players like Mobley, who don't come from an activism background and just see medical marijuana as another field from which to sow more wealth. And quickly here, an update on a story that we brought you yesterday about a 70-year-old woman in Michigan. She was facing 4 years in prison for growing medical marijuana. This is the update from WWJ. A 70-year-old woman has been sentenced to probation, convicted of growing marijuana in her home. Convicted of manufacturing and delivering marijuana, Barbara Agro was sentenced by Circuit Court Judge Wendy Potts to 90 days probation and 20 hours of community service. Agro, who said she was using medical marijuana for extreme arthritis in both knees, was also banned from using the drug while on probation. Quote, "I'm not going to be able to do anything for pain," she told reporters. "All I can take is Tylenol, you know, and they can prescribe Tylenol with codeine, which kills your kidneys after a while. That's the only thing I've ever been able to take," end quote, she said. Yeah, this poor woman could have gotten 4 years in prison and a $20,000 fine, but as it is, for the rest of her life, she's going to be a convicted felon. So, why did she get probation and not prison? Is it because she's an elderly white woman in Ferndale, hobbled by arthritis and growing the plants for medical use? Do you think this case would have had a different sentence if it were a young black man in Detroit, burdened by poverty and unemployment, growing the plants to provide income for his family? And assuming the answer is yes, then we have to wonder why medical use of marijuana gets her a lighter sentence that involves forbidding her to use marijuana medically. Did you or did you not believe she was using it medically, Judge Potts?
What do you think about a break, Russ?
I think we need a break to deal with the stress and strain of thinking of all these poor people that are just sick trying to get by. Leave them alone.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write Normal, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Puff Pass Records.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio. John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Jedi Mind Tricks have been around since 1996 from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. The hip-hop trio Vinnie Paz, Stoop the Enemy of Mankind, and Just Allah founded their group when they were in high school. Jedi Mind Tricks has six albums to date. Their seventh album, Violence Begets Violence, comes out in 2011. Make sure you check them out online. Google Jedi Mind Tricks, jmthiphop.com. Quick and Painless this week. The song's called Trail of Lies. You heard it right here on Normal Show Live. I am John Doe. Till we meet again, see ya.
Turn the television off, cousin. That ain't nothing for a girl to see. I got a niece, I best believe she mean the world to me. And she don't need to see the shit they think a girl should be. 90-pound skinny bitches, that ain't even girl to me. Essentially, that shit designed to take a hold of you. telling lies to your vision, take control of you. They find a different ways to take your fucking soul from you. Show about a model, make your self-esteem low for you. Everything is fake, trust me, no one that lovely. I met a lot of famous people and they fat and ugly. I ain't any better, I just think the fact is funny. That'll take a little girl and pimp her for the cash and money. And what's gonna become of them in like 50 years? When Hannah Montana turning into Britney Spears. They chew you up and spit you out cause no one really cares. And ain't nobody gonna hold you when you really scared. Where the parents at? Cousin, this is really bad. Is this the motherfucking manager or really dad? Is she concerned about his daughter or a silly pad? This ain't gonna change nothing, I just think it's really sad. Television off, cousin. It's a tool for them to clog the mind. Conservatism, liberalism, they divide the line. The natural feelings of a child is to be common kind. Then they show you ass for the Marines and they decide it's time. So they can send you to a war behind their father crime. Then send you home, it's in a limit, not provide a dime. And the news tell you cops is on the block for people. I'ma put it simple and plain, cops is evil. Take the television show Cops, for example. That's the shit they want America to watch and sample. Never showing you how dirty that they really is. And that they hide behind they badge and that they really bitch. I ain't never met a pig in my life that I ain't wanna catch a body on or jig of my knife. Yeah, that's another fucking topic for another day. I'ma tell you how to try to get you in another way. They tell you that there's something wrong with you, you need they drugs. But there ain't nothing fucking wrong with you, they vegan thugs. They sell drugs and commercials at the same time. Lock a motherfucker up for the same crime.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 30 after the hour, and we're going to be speaking with a LEAP speaker, Betty Jane Taylor, and I'm hoping she's on the line. Our call screener is not here today, so I hope she's picked up. Betty Jane, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much, and I apologize for that. Our call screener is stuck in Idaho, so we had to do everything live, but thank you for joining us today here on Normal Show Live.
That's fine.
All right. I'm looking at your background here, and it says you're the former chief of police with the Winfield Police Department in Winfield, Missouri, and that you are an adjunct professor of criminal justice, and you teach courses on sexual assault investigations. I'd like to begin there as we discuss of this war on drugs. We often hear about things like the so-called date rape drugs, the Rohypnols and so on. And I'm wondering if you have any opinions on how the war on drugs may or may not lead to more problems in the areas of sexual assault.
Well, from my experience, it's being a sexual assault investigator, I was the primary detective in my county that I worked in. And with the war on drugs has not done anything to decline, or, you know, if someone's going to rape you, they're going to rape you. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They're going to find a way. It doesn't matter what devices they use.
Sure.
That's just been used as a weapon to get their behavior, you know, happen. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we could point that out just by pointing out the legal drug, alcohol, and its culpability in so many, you know, sexual assault cases. So its legality or illegality doesn't seem to make a difference, does it?
No, it doesn't. And a majority of my cases did involve alcohol consumption before the act.
Mm-hmm. So since this is a show that we deal primarily with marijuana, you know, one of the things that our opponents have sometimes mentioned, and I think I saw one of those silly Partnership for a Drug-Free America commercials about it, with a young, you know, portrayed a young teenage girl and the possibility of smoking marijuana and how that would lead to unprotected sex. What is your experience in this area tell us about marijuana and sexual assault or people misbehaving sexually?
Well, I don't think it perpetrates to any other. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. It might be more of a relaxant, but alcohol could be relaxant also. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I mean, anything. If you have that mindset that you're going to, you want to behave in that way, you're going to behave in that way. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, a lot of people like to say that marijuana is a threshold to get you relaxed or get you in that, but there's a lot of things that can get you like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a diabetic. If I consume too much sugar, I'm going to be like that.
So. Okay. Applying with Snickers bars, I suppose. As I look at your bio here, it says that you were the Lincoln County Law Enforcement Officer of the Year back in 2001, and I'm wondering now if we could take the conversation more toward the enforcement of drug laws in general in Missouri. What were the biggest drug law problems you saw in the state of Missouri, and how do you think prohibition affected that?
Well, with us, the problems that we had were that I was the sexual assault investigator. So in my detective bureau, which we were getting hit hard with the meth manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
and our laws were not caught up with the problems that we were having, because in rural Missouri at the time, you could make and sign the things to manufacture meth that were over the counter, that the laws had not caught up with the problem. And at that time, I was going to do these meth raids because that's what we were supposed to do, and my sexual assault cases would just sit and just be collecting. That's why I was having to help, because there's so much involved when you do a search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we come in, we would just find marijuana. Well, of course, we're gonna arrest everybody for what we've got, but the meth problem was more of a or causing more problems for us than marijuana ever did. Mm.
You know, another story that we had reported on, I think it was a year or two ago, maybe sooner than that, in Columbia, Missouri, the no-knock SWAT raid that led to the killing mm-hmm. of the dog right there in front of, I guess, it was a 7-year-old, 9-year-old, something like that. How have you seen in your experience here how prohibition of drugs has led to causing more danger to women and families than the drugs themselves?
Oh, exactly. Especially women. Me being, I was only one of three female chiefs of police for the state of Missouri. And, like I said, by not legalizing it and organizing it and having the distribution organized, and, women would consume whatever they were given. If it was legalized and they were given a more ethical choice or more, organized choice to have, women wouldn't have gone like to meth. Meth is tailored to women, as far as I'm concerned. You lose weight, you can stay up, you've got energy to deal with things. And with the SWAT team raids, I did not like going on them, to tell you the truth, even though I was a part of our CERT team, because of there's just too much problem that can happen, like the dog getting shot. I've seen people, bullet went through a wall, but because they didn't know what we were going into. You know, it's officer safety. You have to go home at night, but exactly, are you going to be able to sleep when you do go home that night of what you've done?
Yeah, that's just terrible to have to hear that from that side of it. We're speaking with Betty Jane Taylor, a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. I encourage everyone to check out LEAP's website at leap.cc or copssaylegalizeddrugs.com. She's the former police chief of the Winfield, Missouri Police Department and an expert on criminal justice and sexual assault. So when you're out there trying to speak at different events, and you guys, especially LEAP, is known for not being a preaching to the choir group. You go out there to Rotary clubs and PTAs and all these, you know, what we might call square audiences, I suppose. What do you hear back from them, especially as a woman, and hearing from other women who are mothers? What are their fears about legalizing drugs, and how do you convince them to not be afraid?
Well, I would tell them that drug dealers don't ask for ID.
Yeah.
And so anyone can get this illegal stuff that you don't know what you're going to be consuming or not. And most, because I'm a mother and I know most mothers, that's a big problem. They don't know what their child would be put into them. But if it was legalized and there was some type of organization for it, women would, you know, they are afraid that if it is legalized that we'll have, you know, more accidents. Just recently in our San Luis Post-Dispatch, they put a huge half-page ad about that, you know, there's so many problems with stone drivers because, because you know, we're trying to get the Show Me Cannabis Initiative passed here in Missouri. And this was a half-page about how the stone drivers are causing all these wrecks in California. But at the bottom of the page, it talks about the Show Me Cannabis Initiative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one thing that you can have bad drivers anyway. You can have a sleepy driver. I've worked wrecks where people have been fallen asleep just because they've been up all night working. I mean, it's, but to put that out there and that message, that it's just, not correct.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I hear a lot of times is, well, we've got enough problems with alcohol as it is. Why would we want to add another drug? What do you tell them then?
Well, would you rather it be, spend all this exorbitant amount of money on trying to fight this unwinnable war, or would you rather that go into trying to get someone some help if they can't, you know, get their problems under control? And it all comes down to their tax dollars. Where do you want your tax dollars spent? Because, or where do you want to see your money go?
You know, how long have you been speaking with LEAP, Betty Jane?
Just this year.
Oh, just begun this year. Okay. Well, I'm wondering, though, throughout your career, I mean, you've been in a law enforcement career back to 97, it says here in your bio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of years, you know, dealing with people. And do you see change happening in Missouri? I have fans in Missouri. I've met a few of them. I just spoke at the Missouri Normal event, my first time in Missouri a few months ago. And I felt like there was a lot of despair among the people. Like, you know, there's no hope. There's no way we'll ever get it changed.
Right.
Do you see change coming?
I do. I'm from southeast Missouri in Poplar Bluff. And I go home frequently, and I do see a lot of change. Even the more, and that's a very conservative part of Missouri, they want the change. They want this initiative. They're tired of seeing this time and time again. People, you know, losing half their life for three joints or losing everything they had for just a small amount of something that's helping them.
Yeah, and
you know, we're an agricultural state also, so it would help if this initiative does pass. It would help us agriculturally, because our state is, and like every other state, is economically not that great.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we're speaking with Betty Jane Taylor from LEAP and former police chief in Winfield, Missouri. Tell us about this initiative that you keep mentioning. What is it, and what exactly is it? Medical? Is it decrim? What would it do for Missouri?
Well, it would. It is for medical marijuana use, and it is for some agricultural too. It's the Show Me Cannabis Initiative. And they're trying to get it on a ballot. They're needing signatures to get the initiative done. But it's to help with municipal marijuana here in Missouri, which is very needed. I actually had met two sisters who were cancer patients, and they knew that I was in law enforcement, and I was trained in the recognizing the smell of marijuana.
Sure.
When I was in police academy, and of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I could smell that on them, but to see when they explained their story to me, it was heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
That they were criminals legally, but they were just trying to survive.
Yeah, and that's the story we hear time and time again in the states that are working on medicinal marijuana laws is, you know, what kind of choice do you want to give someone? Is, you know, prison or a fulfilling life without pain or without suffering? It just seems like a no-brainer, but there's still some people, and sadly, seems more proportionally in law enforcement, that are wedded to this prohibition of marijuana at all costs. We can't let anyone do it. So how do you, within the law enforcement community, start to change their minds, especially when some of their salaries depend on locking up people?
Well, they have to understand that we need to focus on more violent crimes, not just reaping the benefits of going in and raiding somebody's house and finding something. Mm-hmm. You know, I always had that problem, because that was it. That was the main objective, to go in and find what you could find.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other crimes that are more violent, and that's where my sexual assault training and my sexual assault experience has been. There are a lot of bad things that happen to a lot of good people, and all that money that's expended towards getting just people who are using because they need that medicine that's not available to them legally. And why are we doing that? We're never going to win. We're never going to stop the flow of it. So I just don't understand. But, you know, prohibition is not going to end up, you know, overnight, and regulation needs to be implemented. You know, law enforcement needs to understand that. But there's other focuses that we need to be focusing on.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, going back to your experience with sexual assault investigations, I've always found some very, you know, stunning statistics on sexual assault in America. Something like only one out of four of the reported assaults end up getting cleared. And that's, of course, just the reported ones. We know there's a chronic underreporting of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that perhaps, especially marijuana being illegal, that might lead to people more unlikely to report such an assault for fear they get busted with the weed?
Oh, yes, I've had this happen time and time again, especially with younger females, mm-hmm. late teens or early teens, because either the perpetrator or someone else has said to them, okay, if you go and tell anybody, you know, you were in the wrong too because you were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's used as a tool by a lot of perpetrators to keep people silent. And we can't have that. If that was the case, then there are so many underreported sexual assaults. It's just amazing to me, because I'll have someone that I'll finally arrest, and then I've had 5 victims come forward, and it's because of there is some type of, you know, illegal consumption of something, and they didn't want to come forward because that perpetrator's used that as a tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we could go on this, but I'm afraid we're out of time. Yeah. Betty Jane Taylor from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, former police chief with the Winfield Police Department in Winfield, Missouri, and the Lincoln County Law Enforcement Office of the Year of 2001. We're honored to have you here on the show, and thanks for joining us. You're welcome back anytime.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you so much. When we come back, we've got live studio guests. We're going to have a lot of fun and some laughs here at Normal Show Live. Stay tuned. We're back right after this.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock, cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green. And smoke that weed, smoke that weed, smoke that weed, smoke that weed.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
Loose lips cause rips. Never brag about your home grow, even if you're a legal medical grower.
Legalization.
Decriminalization.
Lowest law enforcement priority.
Medical marijuana.
Ganja sacrament.
Consumer cannabis.
Industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that interact nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare,
the economy,
global climate change,
law enforcement in prisons,
immigration,
religion,
free speech,
energy policy,
and war. Now, we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Show Live Cannabis Conversations.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are going to have some fun here in the newly redesigned Rolla J Studios, and this is a cannabis conversation only due to the fact that we're having a conversation and we've all smoked some cannabis. So we are going to welcome Ron Funches and Ian Carmel, local comedians, here to the studio. Welcome, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hi. In Ron's case, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for remembering.
I totally remember, man. Glad to have you here. And we were all laughing before we came on here. It's like, gee, how are we going to segue from the sexual assault serious topic to doing the comedy here? But we'll find a way.
I wasn't laughing about it.
No, not Ron.
It was me. That was me laughing at him. I'm the heartless one.
Yeah. I took it quite serious.
Of course, of course. So, Ian, welcome to the show, man. And
yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing stand-up comedy about 2 years. Before that, I did improv and sketch, which
yeah.
is really the annoying younger brother of comedy for like about 3 years. So 5 years, 5 years in the game total.
Right on.
Yeah.
Having a good time here in Portland?
Having a great time here in Portland, yeah. It's like a very nice village to grow up in.
You grew up here in Portland?
I grew up, I'm from Beaverton.
Okay.
Yeah, And then kind of grew up in Beaverton and Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. So how does the mighty herb fit into your life?
A lot of ways. I come up with
like
it's like if my life is like some like unmarked Lincoln police car, the herb is like the siren I put on top of it.
The old Starsky and Hutch 70s
really
version.
Need to get some business done. I throw it up on top. I use it in writing. I don't usually not before I perform, but afterwards, you know. Because when you do stand up comedy, man, like you come, I mean, you get ride such a high. You know, like an actual high after you get off stage. But it's like midnight, you know what I mean?
Right,
you gotta
right.
get to sleep, you're hopeless. But I just love it. For me, it's just
I know. I used to play music for a living, and yeah. I knew after you'd get done at a gig at 2 a.m, it's like you're all amped up, and you've been rocking. Right. It's like, all right, time to go to bed.
Right.
Before
I ever engaged in the herb, I would I guess I'll drink a bunch of whiskey.
Yeah.
And then
me
the
too.
Next day you wake up and it feels like somebody like walked in and like hit you with a baseball bat a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the middle of your REM sleep. So that I don't do anymore at all.
Right
so
on. Yeah, I know. After I started using weed, I had less and less alcohol.
I just don't drink anymore. Because I don't even like the taste of alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had, like, you know how some guys can enjoy a scotch?
Yeah.
I will never understand.
What a fine scotch.
Right, yeah. It only tastes a little like gasoline, right? Like, that's the charming part about it. So, yeah, for me, it's, like...
But no weed before a set.
I usually try not to,
yeah.
Unless we're doing a show at the Cannabis Cafe, in which case it's impossible.
Not to.
Yeah, impossible not to. But I can't, like Ron here can go up and handle himself. If I do, I'll go up and I'll be a little bit bleary.
Yeah.
Because my style is a little bit more fast and staccato.
My style is usually more weed-based.
so it's steeped in it.
I just balance it out. I usually try not to very close to it. But I like to just keep a balance of what my normal life would be. So if I'm going to smoke, I will in the afternoon and then go do a set. And then, like you said, it's perfect for after a set when you're riding a high. And it's even better if you have a horrible set.
Oh, yeah.
If you've died.
You need to forget it.
Well, at least put it in context.
It's okay.
It's not the end of the world.
I have another show.
Is there among comedians, do you guys delineate like whether someone's a weed comic or just a comic who smokes weed?
No, not really.
There's not like a special badge or club.
No, I mean, I think me personally, some people will like call me a stoner comic, and I don't even want to say that. I just smoke pot, and a lot of my friends do too as well. And it's just normal, especially in Portland comedy.
Oh God, yeah.
It's throughout. I know several people who are fans of you guys.
Oh yes, my goodness!
In the comedy community,
I'm trying to think of comedians who don't.
Yeah,
that might be a shorter list.
That's harder.
I would say our buddy Sean doesn't, but he did not too long ago.
Right, yeah. Not a regular engagement, not for any sort of moral reason or anything like that.
And that brings us into a good segue about tonight's show.
It does indeed, We're going to be at the Hollywood Theater here in Portland. If you're in Portland tonight at 9:30, it's Portland's best stand-up comedians. Ron's going to be there. We've got Anthony Lopez, who is a hilarious up-and-coming stand-up comedian who's at Bridgetown this year. I'm going to be there, and I'm a very impressive wit. But we've also got Sean Jordan, who you just mentioned, Shane Torres, Tim Hammer, who's very funny. He's going to be there as well. And Free Donuts. So if that doesn't get you...
Free donuts and stoner comedians.
Free voodoo donuts and a bunch of stoner comedians.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When is this?
It's tonight at 9:30.
Tonight at 9:30. Yeah. God,
all ages.
I think
right
I
across the street from a comic book store. So, I mean, if we can't sell you any more other than that...
Jesus, you throw a porn convention and John just might melt down.
My head might explode.
Yeah. Porn convention, comic book store, comedians, and voodoo donuts, John?
Yeah.
I can't promise...
Except for the porn convention.
Female breasts, but my breasts. Your breasts will be there. Yeah. Well,
as mine as well.
Well, there we go. They say that the smoking pot causes the man boobs.
Yeah.
I say no, the smoking pot causes the voodoo donuts that cause the man boobs.
Right, exactly. And I came into this relationship
with you. Exactly. Exactly. And I'll provide the hash oil hits afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Well, there you go.
You remember that
How
old Brill Cream, the old Brill Cream
the
ad?
Season.
A little dabble, do you?
A little dabble,
yeah.
So, Ian, when did you first get involved with weed and how'd it happen?
One of my best friends in the world, Graham. It's funny. That's a funny name for it. But he got me...
Graham.
Yeah. You know, I never... It's weird.
And his cousin, Kilo.
Right, yeah. Kilo, yeah. His beautiful wife, Ants. But I never smoked weed in high school or even really in college, which is weird, right? Because that's like kind of when you do it. And then with the herb, like finally when I got out of college, kind of like in like tail end of senior year, he started kind of getting into it. And I was like, well... All right, and then we tried it the first time, and he had just bought, season one of the X-Files on DVD,
uh-oh.
And we were within walking distance of a plaid pantry. Right, exactly. So like we did that, and it was like it was the middle of summer, so it was beautiful out, right? And like I smoked the herb, and it was amazing, you know, like because it was this TV show that I loved, and that was awesome. And we walked and bought brownies, and that was awesome too. And then from there, he bought me a piece too. Like I think he was kind of trying to push me into.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hooking
me
up.
I didn't have to. Like I was walking at a pretty steady clip towards it anyway. So yeah, I mean, I just kind of got involved like through a friend, and yeah, I love it. But like I later found out like. You just like people in my family do it, you know, the kind of stuff that nobody ever talks about.
Yeah.
Which is silly, right? Yeah. Like the only one I knew was like my older sister who would like offer it to me at a party, and I'd be like, no!
It's drugs!
I'm going somewhere, right? Like, yeah.
Here you are.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it hasn't changed a thing, you know what I mean? Like, cool. I'm on the same like trajectory that I was always on, which is nice. You
just
know
but
I mean?
Just yeah. happier about it.
And now, saving money on alcohol all over the place. Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah.
Now, I started later too. Do you think that has anything to do with our Judaism?
Maybe.
No, I don't want to try it.
I don't know. Perhaps that isn't the best time. I'm going to give Manischewitz another couple years. And then maybe at that point. Yeah. It could be.
So we've been talking about a little bit, too, of the possibility of a podcast recording out of here. You want to tell us a little bit about that before we go out?
Yeah, absolutely. Myself and Ian Carmel and our good friend Timmy Williams from the, you might know him from the Whitest Kids You Know, been talking about doing a video game theme podcast. It's really just about things we like. Could be video games, comic books, and just things that we enjoy in every day. And just bringing that up and doing a show here. And we're thinking about doing that, and we're hoping people will listen and enjoy it.
Yeah,
I think they will.
Absolutely. That's something that we've been thinking a lot about here is that, you know, like the question about, you know, stoner comics versus comedians who smoke is also like we're going to have shows that are not stoner shows. They're just shows by stoners.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
let's do some shows that, you know, and then if the story does come up of, oh, I don't know, there's marijuana in a comic book or something, or in the sports show, we were talking about a college football show, somebody gets busted with weed.
Right.
Then you're getting the stoner perspective on, you know, that issue, but it's not all about the weed.
Right, yeah, exactly. It can be part of your life and not define you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like the thing.
Exactly.
So here we are. We're in Portland, Oregon, of course, or as we like to call it, Potland. And, of course, medical marijuana has been here for 13 years now. Medical marijuana, what do you think about the whole program? Are you in the program?
I personally am not in the program. I think it's a wonderful program, though. And it's, you know, like, as in comedy, like, you'll see, and I had one, too, like, people who do bits where it's alcohol versus marijuana, right? And
sure.
That'll be like, they're like, with an alcohol, you know, you drive drunk and kill a person. Marijuana, you sit at home and, you know, watch TV. Like, that's essentially what my joke was.
Yeah.
The thing for me, when you're getting into the medical part of it, it's like, Vicodin is legal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a controlled substance, but Vicodin, and that'll mess
Oxycontin.
You know what I mean? I have like aunts and like and uncles who like died from opiate overdoses, right? You know, where they get hooked on this stuff that is legal in medicine, and the fact that like marijuana isn't. I mean, here it is, you know, thank God or whatever. But in other states, that it isn't. That's the criminal part to me, having seen firsthand the damage that other stuff can cause. So I believe in it very strongly. I'm not a member of the program myself, because, like, I mean, up to this point, I haven't had an ailment that warranted it, but
yeah.
To me, it's
But ailment that's listed by Oregon that,
right.
that covers it. Do you think that your own use, though, has a medical benefit to you?
I could see it in there. I try not to take, like, aspirin or ibuprofen mm-hmm. or that kind of stuff. Like, if I just have, like, an ache or a pain, you know, that kind of thing. Like, if I get back from the gym, which is rare. A little heavy set. But, you know what I mean? Or just, like, if like, body aches, anything like that. If I can just smoke, like, a little bit of herb rather than, you know, taking, like, 8 ibuprofen that day,
yeah.
I'm definitely going to do that, you
yeah.
know? And if it achieves the same effect, you know, like, an ibuprofen will bring the swelling down, but that's, your body will do that naturally
yeah.
anyway. So.
And so will cannabis. If
yeah.
We have these salves now you can rub out, you know, topical.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. have one,
take
yeah,
care
yeah.
of that stuff. Yeah, and that's the same thing, you know, I think the same thing, too, is that, you know, I can't remember the last time I bought a bottle of Tylenol.
No.
Or aspirin, for that matter, you know, I
yeah.
never use the stuff.
The only medicine you do need is the Pepto-Bismol when you eat 45 chicken wings.
Chicken wings. All right, let's remind people about the show one more time, guys.
It's tonight at the Hollywood Theater. The very funny Ron Funches is going to be headlining tonight. all be there. Anthony Lopez, Shane Torres, Sean Jordan, Tim Hammer, even Jordan Kasner will be playing a song there. It's going to be great fun tonight, 9:30.
All ages.
Right on. All right, well, Ron Funches and Ian Carmel, local Portland comedians and soon-to-be hosts of the Comic Book Fantasy Sci-Fi podcast, is something like that.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm Radical Russ. We got a call today here for the podcast for Wiz Calico and Ganja John. Thanks for joining us. For those of you sticking here live, hour two is up next with the guys. Call in, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.